All right, good, good. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. We're on number five, or lesson five of our one another calling is what kind of how I titled it, a one another calling. All right, so a little intro here on getting along with people. It says the six most important words. Okay, here's the six most important words. It says, I admit I made a mistake. Okay. The five most important words, it says, you did a good job. The four most important words is, what do you think? The three most important words are, after you, please. The two most important words are, thank you. The one most important word is, we. And what do y'all think the least important word is?
I.
That's right. Good job. Yep. I. So, author's unknown. It wasn't me, but it says author unknown, so I can't give them props. But yeah, so on getting along with people. So, all right, so we're on number 13 here. This one's going to be a tough one, and so will the other two. And this is forgive one another, okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. How can I get this front table to read it? Go ahead.
Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, graciously forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has graciously forgiven you.
Okay, hold that spot. And then the middle table, can I get y'all to read Colossians 3:13? Sorry, I didn't give you the verse before. Colossians 3:13. So Ephesians 4:32, instead be kind to one another.
Tender with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive.
So also you should, right? Absolutely. So, many empty phrases have been said over time about forgiveness. Wouldn't y'all say that? You know, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Right? I'm sorry. And then sometimes we don't really mean it, or maybe we do, right? Okay? Many believers today sin because they don't truly forgive one another. Have you guys ever experienced that? Yeah? Okay. So a lot of times we lack forgiveness because we don't understand biblical forgiveness, okay? So that's important. Maybe your heart is hardened, or maybe you haven't asked for forgiveness because you don't understand what biblical forgiveness is. So a lot of times we lack forgiveness because we don't understand biblical forgiveness. Or because our hearts are what? They're hardened, that's right. And we just refuse to do it. I've been in those situations where you're trying to counsel somebody, but they're just, I will not do it and I can't do it. And if I do it, it's not going to be... I'm not going to mean it, but I'll do it if I need to just check the box off. You're like, whoa, that's rough. So imagine if you weren't a Christian. So when we forgive someone, we do not overlook the sin, right? It must be dealt with. You must deal with the sin. That's the whole purpose of forgiveness, okay? When Christ forgave us, what did he do with on the cross?
He paid the price,
right, for our sins. Absolutely. What's that? Oh, I thought I heard. And what's that? In full, that's right. Not partial on layaway like Walmart? No? Okay. Well, you probably don't know about layaway, huh? He's like, what's that? Yeah, no, not anymore. They tried to bring it back, but it failed. What's that?
That's what credit cards are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No joke. So when we forgive someone, we don't overlook the sin. We have to deal with it. All right? So the Bible is very clear about what forgiveness is. Okay? So what do y'all think? So just in simple words, forgiveness is also, it's a matter of obedience, okay? Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 17.
What was the Colossians verse again?
Yeah, no, you're good. 3:13. Yep, Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 3:13.
Luke what?
Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. And if that back table wants to break it out, maybe three or four verses each, or one or two, however.
He said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, forgive him. And if he repents, forgive him.
All right, verse 4 or verse 3.
If he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him, when he has come to the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward will you eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.
Okay. So again, forgiveness is about, it's a matter of obedience. Okay. So in verse 5, whoa, hit a high note there. In verse 5, what did the apostles think they needed more of to forgive repeatedly? Faith, right? So increase our faith, Lord. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, you know, he starts to give this parable, right, or this note there, or example there. He says, so here in this passage, it's not about the lack of faith, but it's the lack of obedience, okay? It's not about the faith, it's the lack of obedience. The servant does what he does because of who his, what is?
Master,
right. The Christians, I mean, what his master does, right? The servant does what he does because of who his master is and because of his, what kind of, his relationship with the master, okay? So he does what he does because who his master is and because of his relationship with him, okay? All right, so Christians should forgive one another simply because of who our master is. And who is our master? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's right. So remember, forgiveness is not about feelings, okay? Or even the lack of faith. Forgiveness is simply a matter of obedience, okay? That's hard to do, right? As a young kid, I remember just multiple things happening to me and my family. And going through different scenarios. But I look back and I think there was at some point in my life where forgiveness was tough. Well, I thought I forgave, but I didn't. And so as a Christian now and have that conviction when you realize it, that, man, I don't think I ever forgave that person truly, right? So it's a matter of obedience. So now when you recognize that, you've got to follow up with it, okay? All right. So Scripture teaches that there is both a method and a manner in which to forgive. You can write these down, but we won't read it. So Matthew 18, 15 through 35, we'll talk about the method side of it, okay? And then Luke 17, 1 through 4, we'll talk about the manner in which to forgive, okay? So the first one, we'll go into the first one. So Matthew 18, 15 through 35. And there, you can turn there if you want. I think I heard some of you sharpening your swords. So if you're there, you want to go there, just say I. Or I, okay, all right. Matthew 18, 15 through 35. But here, if someone sins against you, what should you do?
I'll tell him, show him his
fault. Okay, you go talk to him, right? What'd you say, Jesus? Go show him his fault? Yeah. You go and talk to him, right? I'm saying him because from according to all the ladies I pulled, the men make most of the mistakes. So I kind of, no, I'm just kidding. You feel it? Yeah. No, so I'm just kidding. But I put him, but it's okay. It's everybody, all right? Okay, so if someone sins against you, go and talk to him, right? If he confesses and repents, It is your responsibility to then forgive. Oh, can you imagine that? Somebody who's wronged you, and you're doing it, and you're thinking they're not going to confess and truly repent, and then all of a sudden now you're stuck with this, oh, I've got to forgive them now, right? Now I've got to do that final part.
Yeah, I don't think it just extends to an affliction between you and them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Something you observed, yeah. And it offended you, right?
Oh, no. Just like stumbled their walk, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely. So not just forgiveness, but something like that. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, you did something and then you caused them to stumble. Is that what you're saying?
Or you vice? Saw them stumble.
Oh, you saw them stumble. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. And it could be the other way, too, around if you cause somebody to stumble. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so it's your responsibility then to forgive once they confess and repent. Now, if he listens to you and responds biblically, then the issue is done, right? Or do we bring it up again 3 years later? No? We try not to, right? We become, what do they call it, historical? We're all archaeologists, right? We begin to get the brushes out and dig them all up.
Mandate to keep short accounts.
Short accounts, that's right. Exactly right. Okay, the issue is done. If not, if it's not done, then you need to bring somebody. You need to bring somebody with you, right? If there's no repentance, if there's no forgiveness, then Matthew 18 says we take somebody else with us, right? So, again, the point to this isn't to grill them and make them feel guilty. The point is you're trying to restore them because this will affect the relationship. And like we read earlier in that text, you know, why can't you forgive if Christ has forgiven you, right? And so, again, that's the whole point there. So if not, we need to bring someone else with us and go confront them again, okay? Most of the times, we probably will be dealing with this type of situation probably within our own families, right? It's not as common, not that it's not common, but in your lifetime or in your Christian walk, that you'll see probably church discipline, you'll see people approach, but most of the time it doesn't make it to the pulpit, where we have to speak out against somebody. But in your own personal life, at least for me, it was mainly with my children and my family around me where I was constantly asking for forgiveness because of mistakes that I made. I would blow up or I would say something, I would snap, or maybe I'd make a promise and didn't keep it. Whatever, right? There's multiple things that I would do to sin against my children, my wife, my family. So things like that. So again, this should be something that you exercise all the time, to recognize it and move forward with it is a, strong sign of Christ-likeness, humility and forgiveness. It's probably one of the most, or the best way or to see somebody in Christ-likeness. Okay. So does that make sense? Okay. All right. So these are hard to do. Okay, so now the manner in which to forgive. Okay, so Jesus, and that's Luke 17, 1 through 4. And Jesus forgives lovingly, quickly, and then repeatedly, and then lavishly. Okay, so lovingly, quickly, repeatedly, lavishly. They all end in L-Y's. No. When we come to God and ask for forgiveness, God does it very quickly and consistently, right? So when you say, Lord, save me, does he say, well, hold on, I've got to evaluate this, you know, let me think about what you've done, let me make sure there's a capacity, right? Or let me just see, right? Just give me some time, let me think about it. Does he? No, right? It's instantly, it's quickly, and then consistently as well. Christ forgives you when you become saved, right? And then Christ continues to forgive as you what?
Continue to sin.
As we continue to sin, right? What does 1 John say? It says, if we say that we're without sin, then we make God a liar, right? Sin is still here. Sin is still in us. We're still in that process of progressive sanctification, okay? Where it means progressive sanctification is where we're becoming more and more and more and more like Christ. We'll never get there, but that's the standard. So, but our job is to strive to be like Christ, okay? So again, God does it very quickly and consistently. So that is the same manner in how we should also forgive each other, okay? Quickly, consistently, swiftly, lavishly, and then lovingly, okay? And let it go. Let it go. There's been multiple times where I've asked somebody to forgive me for something, whether I did the wrong or not, and I walk away and I'm done. I'm at peace with it, okay? It's up to them now and the Lord, but I'm done. That's it. So that's real important. The burden is no longer on me, and it shouldn't be on us once you make it right. And you truly mean it, though. All right, so we should understand that forgiveness involves both a heart attitude of love and willingness to forgive, right? Not because somebody's forcing you, but this must be a willingness to forgive, okay? As well as a transaction upon cession, okay? It should be give and take, okay? One must seek forgiveness, and one must grant forgiveness. Okay, when somebody has done you wrong, and let's say you were on the opposite end, and then they come ask you for forgiveness, but you've already allowed this to build up because you never went to make it right, then now you must grant that forgiveness, right? It's the right thing to do, okay? Many Christian relationships go unresolved because that transaction never occurs, the asking and receiving, okay? It never occurs, okay? And even partially, it doesn't sometimes occur. The transaction is never made. It's only one way sometimes. So again, we must forgive, right? So relationships go unresolved because the transaction never occurs. You got to forgive, or you must ask for forgiveness and then forgive, grant forgiveness. People often just say, oh, I'm so sorry. Please accept my apologies. Okay. That's like saying, do you believe? Well, believe in what? Right? What do you believe? Boy, what are you talking about? That the earth is round? No, do you believe? Oh, in the 7-day creation? Oh, no, 6-day creation, right? Yeah. Ooh, yeah. So, yeah. So, what are we talking about, right? So we just say, oh, okay, yeah, apology accepted. But you need to talk about it. You need to speak about it, okay? Those types of statements accomplish nothing, okay? Because it's like, oh, yeah, you know what I did to you. Oh, yeah, I know what you did to me. Okay, are we good? Yeah, we're good. All right, let's go. Right? That doesn't really, you know, when I tell you what I did to you, oh, man, there's so much. And then people, well, yeah, you did. You hurt my feelings. That wasn't right. What you said was demoralizing. And then as a Christian, we shouldn't be that way. Man, there's an opportunity to sharpen each other, right? Okay, so we must seek and grant forgiveness in terms that the Bible teaches us. Okay, don't do it in your own way. John Adams, a commentary of his says, in granting forgiveness, a promise is made that involves the following three statements. These are the three statements John Adams gives. He says, I will not bring the matter up to you. Okay, so once you're done, I will not bring the matter up to you. This is granting forgiveness. I will not bring the matter up to another, and then I will not bring the matter up to myself. So don't bring it up to you, to somebody else, or to myself. Okay? Now what does that mean? It means that it's been forgiven and forgotten, right? That's the way we should, that's what some people say. Is that correct or no? Not really, huh? That's not, huh? Yeah, forgive, but don't forget.
That's what the world says.
Okay. So let's challenge that a little bit. Now, this is doesn't mean to forgive and forget, right? So should Christians take that perspective? I'm asking you, should Christians take that perspective? Forgive,
no,
and
that's what the world teaches us. Mm-hmm. Forgive, but don't forget. But the Bible teaches us forgive and forget.
Okay, forgive and forget, or let it go, right? So I think... okay, let me ask you this. When somebody has sinned against you, do you still remember it? You do, right?
It's like a scar.
It's like a scar? So, okay. So Stephen's going deep here, right? He's like, man, I got one right now. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're good. And so, yeah, so sometimes, so I think, though, from the world, like what Raul was saying, the world's perspective is almost like, hold it in your hand, like be ready to use it again because you may need this again, right? And so I think that's what that's saying. So now this does not mean to forgive and forget, because that's really, it's unbiblical to forgive and forget. Okay? This may sound weird, but let me explain a little bit. So when we forgive one another, that does not mean that we will never remember what happened. Okay? It doesn't mean that. Sometimes we will, sometimes we won't. Some comes with old age, and some comes because it wasn't a big deal. Okay? So forgiveness is that we will not bring it up as a charge again in the future to them or anyone else. Okay? I've talked to people that have done things against me, maybe not sin, but maybe turned me in and into HR because they felt that I did something that was not right. And then after it was all resolved, it was just a misunderstanding and perspective. And so I may tease that person. Hey, remember that one time you turned me in? No, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that, right? But I don't hold it against them, right? It doesn't affect anything that they do. No, it wasn't Raul. He's pointing at Raul. They're pointing at you, but it wasn't you, Raul.
Raul, I forgive you.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so it's kind of funny, but in fact, I was excited that they did that because that's what they felt was right at that time, right? So anyways, but yes, so don't bring it up again. We bring it up, but as a learning lesson, not in a sense, I'm holding it against you, okay? So again, is there anybody, so this is, don't raise your hands or say people's names, but this is just a challenge. Mary's like, ah. So is there anybody you need to seek forgiveness from? Okay, it's a challenge. It's hard. You know, I'm not saying go dig up all these old things, but if you've ever been convicted that you need to make things right, then do it. Are there people who have asked you for forgiveness and you did not grant it to them? Oh, Julia, sounds like you're laughing. Sounds like, is that you? Oh. So by forgiving others, this will help us all resolve problems within our relationships, right? So, because it's all about the one another's, okay? By living in one another, harmony in one another, we represent Christ and his nature, right? The triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they live in perfect unity. And so we should strive to live in that manner.
It's so important, too, that I can't remember the exact reference, but before taking communion, if you've got an issue with your brother, you should go handle it with them prior to taking communion.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point. So when we get to that point, this is something like we say it passively sometimes, not intentionally, but this is what that means. If there's something going on between you and somebody else and you haven't made it right, then you shouldn't, right, take it. So sometimes you may be sitting there and getting ready to take the Lord's Supper and you're like, well, that wasn't that big of a deal. I'll go ahead and do it, right? But no, you should hold off, go make it right, especially if the Holy Spirit has brought that into your heart. And go make it right before you do. So that's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, any other questions on that one? I told you they were hard today.
Yes.
Even me, I'm sweating at my desk just typing these up.
Well, I actually did have a question as well.
So okay. Okay, so just me, then it was hard on me. Maybe not you guys. What's up, boss?
How would you handle... So there's a common, when it comes to forgiveness, it's a common understanding within the church that it's not a two-person thing. So if you wronged me, that I'm supposed to forgive you for the wrong that you've done to me, regardless of whether you come to me in repentance or not, or to try and fix the situation.
Yeah. So what's my perspective on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's y'all's perspective, then I'll give y'all mine.
Mine is you don't hold bitterness against that person, but you be ready to forgive when they come to you.
Correct. But that's hard, right? Because you start watering that seed.
It's like those the shows that mom watches of like the murder documentaries of like where people kill someone in their family. Nice. And then they're standing in court and they're like, I forgive you. Oh. What you did, even though they didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
They're just saying in their heart they're not going
to hold it. They need to let go of it.
Yeah. Definitely. So I do. Anybody else have something else? How would you deal with that?
Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you.
That's right. Okay. It's for you. So what I would do is at any moment you are offended or you feel that bitterness growing, whether they did it to you, let's just say, you need to go make it right. Like you have to. Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, you finished what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's like Raul said, right? It's for you. And what that does is that now takes that burden off you. Because if not, that bitter, being bitter is sinful. And so if you, the only way you can make it right is by going and talking to that person. So they're making you, well, you're making yourself sin against God because you're allowing what they did to affect you. And now you're growing this bitter heart. But yes, you must first, you can do it for you, for your relationship with Christ. And then the second, the secondary benefit is that it builds up the church and it glorifies God in that restoring that relationship between each other as believers. Go ahead, Jesse.
I just want to say, I think that the true, like the biblical standard, right, that we see there is in our relationship with God, forgiveness, repentance has to come before forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we can't be forbearing or long-suffering with somebody and treat them with respect and dignity. And you never are hateful towards a person. You always continue to love.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have true forgiveness without repentance.
Correct. And why is that? Do you know why? So maybe for some of us here, like, what is repentance? Like, what is, like, why do I need to?
Well, if I'm going to give something to somebody, they have to be willing to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't take it without repenting and acknowledging the things that they've done.
There you go, acknowledging what they've done, right? You got to know why.
And that's exactly what we see in Scripture in our forgiveness.
Exactly.
Is that it's an admittance of the things that we've done against Him. Mm-hmm. And the forgiveness can come. And that forgiveness brings healing to the person who has done that evil. So forgiveness is very important with our brothers for their sake to heal.
Mm-hmm.
We suffer through that, whether they're still continuing to hurt us or whatever they're doing. We suffer through that just as Christ has done
for us. Yeah.
Right, on a daily basis, we still sin against Him, and He still forgives us when we repent and ask for forgiveness. Yeah. And that's for our healing.
Definitely, definitely.
It's for the sinners, healing.
Yeah. And that's why, go ahead.
I think there's a difference between, people think that forgiveness is just being nice to somebody and never repenting, and you just, well, just continue to forgive. Well, yeah, you have. But forgiveness has to be a two-person thing.
Yep.
Just
be one.
The long suffering, the bearing with somebody is one person that we should do.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
True forgiveness requires two people. Repentance.
That's a great point. I think that's what Matthew 18 teaches us, right? To go and talk to that person, right? So you're right. So an offense has been taken or given, then you need to, like you said, two people need to come together, have that discussion. And then repentance is this talk about the specific sin, right, that was that happened, and create that transaction to give and receive.
Well, and because forgiveness is essential for the other person to heal, that going to them is very important, right? We don't just let people do things to us constantly that is sinful. We go to them and we address it with them so that they can heal and move past us and so that there can be forgiveness.
Yeah.
And that relationships can be healed and you long suffer through that. But you have to go to people if they're sinning against you. You need to go to them and talk to them so that they can heal and become a better person.
Yeah. So what about when somebody says, well, I didn't do nothing to them. Why should I go to them? Go ahead, Chad.
That's a good point, because I don't want to sound like argumentative or anything, but he brings up a lot of good points. I'm just wondering, like, are we putting it like in this like cookie cutter type mentality versus like, you know, even Jesus was like, forgive them for they know not what they do. They didn't come to Him to seek forgiveness. He knew that they were messing up, but He forgave them anyways. So I think it's more like an expanded view where maybe they don't know they're messing up and you forgive them anyways. Mm-hmm. And then if they come to you, boom, two-way streets already been, you know, set up.
Yep.
Points were said. I was just wondering if it maybe needed to be like a broader picture, because sometimes, especially as Christians, like, sometimes we think we're right.
Yeah, yeah, well, absolutely. You
know? And we're misreading an interpretation of Scripture or something, and we don't actually have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else might say something, and then we're like, well, it couldn't have been me.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm kind of like...
Naturally.
Being, I guess, more aggressive with the word, it's just...
I don't, and again, the keeping short accounts, right?
Right.
Like, if somebody's short with me one day or whatever, you don't be like, hey, the other day, you were kind of a jerk to me. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to bring up every little thing. Like, there is that long serpent where you just go with people and you understand that maybe somebody is not intending to hurt you or whatever, and that doesn't mean that you have to keep account of everything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just... Now, if somebody's doing something egregious, then yeah, you need to go and bring that up so that they can stop doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, and they can become a better person that they need to be for Christ.
Yeah, at some point, everybody has to make that decision. That person crossed that line that I need to go address that. And like you said, sometimes there's like, well, they were just being worldly today, fleshly, or they're not Christians, they're responding in their nature, right? You have to evaluate those scenarios all the time. And then also what you said is real important, and you actually beat me to the punch, but when people say, why should I go? They did nothing to me. Exactly what you said. We did nothing to Christ, right? I mean, we sinned against him, but he didn't have to come forgive us. He can't, like you said, he came to us. He gave us mercy and grace. So when we go to somebody, when they sin against us, sometimes they don't even know it, like you were saying earlier. Sometimes they don't even know it, but you're expressing that grace and mercy to them like Christ gave us, right? And so I think that's important. So everything you said was on point. So yeah, you're right. It's not that, we mostly touched on one side of it, but there is, it's a bigger perspective on that, right? So we should, as Christians, should learn to maneuver through both the granting and receiving, right? And most of the times, we should be initiating it, especially once you know in your heart, hey, it crossed that line. Like, I manage people at work, right? People get mad at me at some of the decisions I make, and then I can tell they're mad, but I'm not worried about it because they weren't rude, they didn't cross a moral, you know, line that I have, you know, in my mind. But once they do, then I will, right? So, if somebody wants to argue with me out in the middle of public in a hallway, then we'll come to my office. I'll get on to them. But if they come to my office and they have just a disagreement or a different perspective, it's the same concept. It's just, I think that moral line, at least for me, right? Like every one of us have that, right? What's acceptable to you that you're willing to overlook. And then sometimes we're like, no, that needs to be dealt with. That you saw something in that person that heart issue could go further, or maybe it's a pattern they do to other people. And I think by confronting them with that, sometimes they don't even know they're doing it. So you may be the only person that is strong enough spiritually to approach them and let them know, hey man, the way you talk to me like that is it's unbiblical, and I see you do it all the time. And you claim to be a Christian, so I just want to help you out that this is affecting your testimony with others out there, right? So there's different ways to approach that, and it just depends the scenario, right? And so, anyways, good statement, good question, yes?
One key thing to focus on there is make sure that it's a sin that's involved and not just your feelings.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So one thing that can get you into trouble, but one thing I try and hold by is don't apologize for something that's not a sin.
Yeah.
God didn't say you need to apologize for it, just because sometimes we can do things that we're supposed to do that people will tell us that we need to apologize for.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stand firm on what the word says is right and wrong.
Yeah. You have something wrong?
Yeah, I'm still struggling with the forgive and forget.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout the Bible, God promises that he will forgive our iniquity and remember our sins no more.
Correct.
And so mm-hmm. In the New Testament, right, it talks about what Jesus says, that we are to be perfect, just like our Heavenly Father is perfect, right? And I know that we're not perfect, but we are perfect through Christ, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we should, that's what the standard is, that's what we should strive mm-hmm. for.
Yeah. So I think that's a good question. And you guys jump in if you guys feel that I'm wrong on this, but instantly my mind comes to, is Christ 100% God? Yes, right? Is Christ 100% man? Yes. I don't understand it, right? So then you say Christ, I mean, God says he forgives sin no more. So I believe that's more like the how he looks at us through Christ, right? And so, but Jesus Christ, when he walked on earth, he constantly reminded the Pharisees of their sins, right? And so then you have that other opposite side where he does remember them constantly, right? So I think that applies maybe strictly to those who have been redeemed by Christ, where he remembers sin no more. But like 1 John, how we quoted earlier, where it says that if we say that there is no sin, then we make God a liar. So I think there's that futuristic kind of redemption, almost like the justification perspective versus the non-redeemed, right? So I think what you're saying is true. So that's why it's important for us, because we don't live in that pure state as God yet, but we must exercise that gift and forgive each other. And that's why I mentioned earlier, yes, to forget is to say that you're never going to remember it again. But I promise you that none of us have ever been able to do that, right? So then that means we're not meeting that standard. But if we say that because today we live in a state where we still continue to sin, and then we look at that, what you said earlier, as a futuristic and present. Does that make sense? So present, because Christ looks at us. I mean, God looks at us through Christ. Future, because there'll be no more tears and pain and all the things that will disappear at the end of the end time. Is that fair to say? So it's almost like it's a complete and then incomplete thing that hasn't come to fruition, right? Go ahead.
I would say we often forget to think about sin in a legal framework. So when he remembers our sins no more, it's because the debt's been paid. So there's nothing there, because since Christ, like you were saying, mm-hmm. it's the redeemed versus not redeemed. The debt's been paid. There's nothing, there's no grievance against God anymore if we're in Christ. So that's why he can
Yeah,
and for the unsaved, like Pharisees at the time, they still have that debt.
Yeah, and not only that though. So like, go ahead.
That's one of the hardest things in the world to do, is to forgive and forget. Because one little thing is going to remind you of that sin.
Yeah,
I still drag that stuff against my parents.
Yeah, me too.
I'm 65 years old, and still to this day I drag that stuff, and I'm upset about what my parents did. And I do a lot of thinking in the shower. And just about every day this comes up, and I lay it, I realize I'm doing it. Jesus, this is yours. I don't want this anymore. Just about every day, this is a constant battle. And I don't foresee this going away at all, because my parents are still alive. Something will happen that will bring this to the forefront of my mind, and then this whole cycle starts all over again. Then the key is placing it back at the foot of the cross. Continue to place it at the foot of the cross. And then it's more easily to forgive and to have a relationship with those that you feel has hurt you.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No,
is it just out of curiosity? You don't, or just something to think about? Is your heart grieved because they sinned against God and you were involved in it, or is it an interpersonal issue? Because we can be upset when people sin against God and not need to forgive them because they didn't sin against us.
Oh no, this is my parents have never been Christians.
Okay.
Well, they are now, yeah. but at this time, I was taught how to drink at 4 years old.
Okay.
So this is the state of my parents.
So it's still here. It's not something.
Right. Gotcha. Right. It's just a battle that I have of something that I keep trying to give to God, but it's because of circumstances or because of one little thought that just comes right back and plugs back in.
Yeah.
There are certain things that I've been able to forgive and forget, but there are very few things.
Yeah, and if you never talked to them, maybe the Lord is putting that in your heart to speak to them about it, right?
It could be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it also helps with learning.
Learning, yeah.
Learn from your mistakes. So.
Mm-hmm. They're growing together, talking through them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Communications is the key, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Maybe I do need to talk to them about it.
I mean, yeah, through this, there's one person I know I need to go talk to. And I was just going to say, look, I just want you to listen to me. I'm not saying try to fix it, but many years ago this happened, and this is, I just want to let you know I forgive you. And that's it. Like you said, put it at the feet of the cross and then move forward. Now it's not between you them and God. Now it's just them and God, and that's it, and you're at peace with God. So, no, good. This is a tough subject. It's really tough because we live in a sin-stained world, and we're always constantly falling, or people are falling in front of us or sinning towards us. But also there's a lot of grace and mercy that we give each other, right? So forgiveness comes growth, kind of like what Teresa said. You know, with forgiveness comes growth, restoration. There's that repentance, right? And then you get to see yourself as who you are, as who you really are. You know that, but you have to admit it, right? There's humility in that. And so again, forgiveness is the best way to represent Christ and who He is and what He's done for us. There was one thing I was going to say. Oh, Raul, I was going to say. We can maybe end with this, or we can continue talking. So I kind of take the same position that Jeremy does. So yes, he forgives and forgets, but I think it's from a charge perspective. Like he'll no longer hold that against you. So like in our court today, right after somebody like say O.J. Simpson back in the day, you're probably old enough to remember that. I was in junior high when O.J. was doing his thing, right? So then I remember, okay, all that happened, whether he was guilty or not at the time, they said he was they said he was innocent, right? And then a lot of people rejoiced in that, and some people were upset. But at that point, they can no longer bring those charges back against him because the judge has determined that he was innocent or guilty. But everybody can talk about it, it's still remembered, but it can never be charged against them again. Is that kind of fair?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the idea behind that. So, and maybe that you should use a better example, but that's what came to my that's what came to my mind. Yes, sir.
It's a bad English. You know, like we're comfortable with forgive and forget. But
yeah.
Probably more like forgive and set aside.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because learning from your mistakes, you may have to go back to this point. Or what about using it for helping other people? Like, hey, this was a trial.
Yeah.
Which I had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, using it as a witnessing moment. Like,
yes.
Hey, I went through this.
Yes.
I didn't forget about it. You know?
Yeah.
But it's more like contextual and when does it need to be brought back up?
Mm-hmm.
Using it to be abrasive or hurt somebody.
Yes. No, that's a great point. And I think all of us, hopefully as Christians, but at least speaking for myself, there's times when I've sinned against my wife, and I don't talk about it because I'm embarrassed, right? But all of a sudden, 10 years down the road, I may be talking to somebody who I can see has some of the same symptoms, if you want to call it that, or they're doing the same sins. And I think at that point in my life, I'm comfortable enough talking about it, and so is my wife. So like you said, then I say, hey, look, I'm telling you this because this is what I did. And it really messed us up for a little while, or it messed up my relationship. So I'm telling you out of experience, you know. And so I think that's where that can be used, right, those life experiences to share with each other. And especially in marriage, in relationships with your children, it's important to share those stories. And they're all designed, again, to make people think. And then at the end of the day, you want restoration, repentance and restoration of any relationship. So, okay.
Not to keep pushing hard against your rule or anything, but there's a wisdom aspect of not forgetting as well. If every time your uncle comes over, he's stealing $50 out of your whatever, you can deal with the situation, but after the second and third time, you're going to start hiding your money as well.
Yeah. Or locking the doors, yeah. Yeah.
The wisdom thing of knowing the person that you're around, their struggles that they have, and recognizing that there's a sin issue there that they may struggle with.
Yeah. All right. So we'll save the next two topics for next week. So, okay, let's go ahead and pray. Anybody have anything else before we end? Something you may want to share? Jeremy? Jeremy, Barry, all good? Now, I appreciate the conversation today. Jeremy, Barry, Chad, Jesse. Everybody who said something, Teresa, Raul, this is a very tough subject. And I know when I got married, we both came with baggage, right? We have came with things that affected us in the past. And sometimes that can mess with relationships as well. You have to let those go. And then as you create new baggage, you've got to learn to forgive and forget and move forward. Yeah, Chad?
You have something I want to add.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to go on record. Like, forgiving is probably, like, this is definitely one of the hardest things for me. Mm-hmm. So the conversations today really helped me. Like, I have a really hard time, like, even forgiving myself.
Yeah.
So the questions I had were really, like, you guys were helping me understand these things better. So thank you.
Oh, praise God for that. Thank you for sharing that with us. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness, Lord, that you've, you know, given us by example. Lord, you've forgiven us without us seeking. We were dead in our sins, Lord. So you came to us and you forgave us, Lord. You pulled us out of that deadness and you made us alive in you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Now, Lord, help us as we walk every day trying to exercise this gift of forgiveness, Lord, and this just try to resemble your attributes, Lord, in us of grace and mercy to each other. Help us, Lord, to do that. And not only just to restore relationships within your body, Lord, but also so that way people around us can see that we are your children, Lord, and that people are drawn by that. And, Lord, we're not perfect. Nobody's here is claiming to be perfect. But, Lord, we are still stained by sin, Lord. But we just thank you for what you've done. Help us, Lord, to help us to move forward and to grow, to be challenged by these thoughts and actions that maybe we have taken. And Lord, there's people today that have been offended. And I pray, Lord, that you help them, Lord, with their hearts, that you heal them, that you help them, Lord, work out this situation, that, you know, this transaction we talked about, this example of transaction where we forgive and receive forgiveness, Lord. If any part of that transaction needs to be exercised in our hearts, Lord, or with people, help us to do that, Lord. And then also give us discernment, as was said earlier, Lord, that we don't need to go chase everything down and be the righteous cops out there, Lord. But help us, Lord, to have discernment and when to properly express your grace, your mercy, and the guidance, Lord, of restoring relationships or maintaining them as well. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We love you. We pray in your name. Amen.